Merry Christmas. Good to see everybody here today. I want to thank all the people that are helping with the 14th annual Crosshaven for Children Christmas benefit. We've taken 8 loads of goods over to Grace, which is Grapevine Relief and Community Exchange. They service Grapevine, Colleyville, and Southlake. We've taken about 5 to 6 loads to Justin Community Closet. They have $3,000 a month come in there, and last year was the first year they ever had new toys, and we were the ones that provided it. The reason we provided it is the same reason we went downtown Dallas this morning. I've been up since 9:15. Dave drove the trailer, and we followed him in the Suburban. They gave us 500-plus toys, the Dallas Children's Charity. Oh, and yeah, we delivered yesterday, Thurman and I delivered the first load to Salvation Army in Denton, which was only 11 miles from us this year, which was great. They change warehouses every year. And I think we started that about 5 years ago. And the Lord told me, I said, Lord, what do you want me to do with all this money? I had some extra money. He said, Salvation Army. I said, oh, okay. Dallas? He said, no. I said, Arlington? He said, no. I said, Fort Worth? He said, no. I said, Denton? He said, yes. I said, okay. So we've been delivering to Denton now for several years. So far we've raised in cash $60,052. In gifts, we've raised $38,565. And in gift cards, $455. And a grand total of, give me a drum roll, I've always said I wanted to break $100,000, and we're real close, $99,072. Praise the Lord, $99,000. Now, we've only given to 4,508 children, and I can explain that, and it's because everything's more expensive. I used to buy a $5 doll. I can't get $5 dolls anymore. They're 7 to 10 for the cheapest Barbie dolls. You know, they're expensive. So far we've given Grace about a little over 18,000, Justin Community about close to 8,000, and Salvation Army we've only gotten 6,500. I still have $600 worth of Kohl's cash, and I know I still have about $4,000 coming in, so we are going to go over the $100,000 mark. Yes, praise the Lord. Tomorrow they're giving toys to Grace. On the 13th, they're giving toys to Justin. On the 14th, we're having our Crosshaven dinner. That's what those yellow sheets are about. And you're invited to come to see all the children, the foster children from Crosshaven, and the teen moms. And they've just had really hard lives. There's a 14-year-old girl there that has 2 kids. Now, there's some older ones that have 2 kids, but a lot of them started at 13. So they're helping them. They've graduated from high school. They're going on to, 2 of them are going on to be nurses actually. And one is, she's going to hairdressing school. Another one's going, Kiara graduated from dental assistant school. We saw her at the open house out there. So They're providing them a really safe place and a good place to be raised up because they've really had hard lives. So if you'd like to give to the children, on your donation record or on your envelope or on your check, just write Children or Christmas on it. Okay, all right, we had a testimony come in this week. It's called Awesome Healing Testimony. Dear Pastor Thurman, a couple of weeks ago, I was moving some stuff from our house to our storage unit. I've been out that way a lot lately and have gotten to know, quote, my guys. Rudy was there that day, and as he was helping me unload, the Holy Spirit spoke to me and told me to pray for him. So as we walked to my unit, I asked him if I could pray for him. He told me that he didn't think that God would listen to the prayers of someone like him because he'd been such a bad person. I gave him my own testimony and told him about Moses and King David and Paul. And when I finished unloading all my boxes, we prayed in the hallway together. I quoted John 20:23. Y'all know what that says, that you can forgive anyone's sins. So she remitted his sins and asked the Lord to heal Rudy's knee. Rudy was in tears. So was I. I gave him a big hug and told him, Jesus loves you, and so do I. I told him to look online for the confession of faith, to start reading a Bible, and to declare over himself that he is healed. So fast forward to yesterday, more boxes to go back out to the storage unit. Guess who was there to help me? Rudy went to the doctor a few days after we prayed, and the doctor was amazed. He'd never seen anything like this. Rudy was 95% healed. He was in a car accident several weeks ago, and that knee was all torn up, and he even had damage to the tibia. They were talking surgery, and now it's 95% healed. No brace and no limp, even. Praise God that I needed to make a second trip because I forgot to bring some books for him that the Lord told me to take to him. I gave him The Story of Jesus and How Much He Loves You by Brian Simmons, and I also gave him Blessing Your Spirit and told him to pray that over his wife every day. And finally, I gave him my own Bible. He started to tear up. I also printed a copy of the Salvation Prayer from the website and told him to pray it for himself. Pastor, that boy is going to be saved any second now. I am so full of joy. I feel like doing backflips. Thank you for your ministry because I never would have prayed for Rudy that way ever in a million years. And that sweet young man wouldn't be heaven bound. Giving God all the glory, Ann LeClerc.
Amen. Wow. Praise the Lord. Well, I guess all of you probably know what happened in California this week, do you not? There was a man and a woman, actually there was three people in black hoods, walked into a place in San Bernardino, California, and opened fire with their AK-47s and killed 14 people and wounded 19 more. And of course, after these people, we didn't know at first, after it happened, that one of them was a female because she had a hood on, you know, covered up, I only could see her eyes, and she was killing people also. And, you know, they walked into this place, and within just a minute or a minute and a half, they killed 14 people and injured 19, 21, or whatever it is now. Where did we hear about this just a short while ago? Right here in Dallas? Anybody remember whenever, over here in Garland or Plano or wherever it was, that these two guys, you know, that, you know, we called them, I think our president calls this workplace violence. That's right, there's no way, you know, I mean, I hate to say this about the president, but we need a president. We really do need a president. And, we, you know, like they say, you know, if the Democrats last time, the Democrats, they really literally, when they had their platform, they throwed God out. Do y'all know that? And then they realized what they had done. And there was so many people now ain't going to vote. If you say, we don't believe in God. Now, there's a lot of people that say they believe in God, but they don't believe in God. They don't ever go to church. They don't ever tithe. They don't ever do anything. They don't walk in love. They don't do anything. But they'll say they're a Christian. Some of them will. But they're really not. You know, they're not Christians. So anyway, because these two guys from Arizona came down here and they just happened to walk up at this place where there was a lot of people having a meeting, and just as they start to walk in the door, there happened to be a police officer that was off duty that still had his armament, and he killed those two guys. And no telling how many people he saved. That guy just happened to be there at the right time. Happened to be there? No. You think that was divine appointment, right? Yeah, but what's God trying to tell us? See, he showed us that one, that, you know, this is what's coming to America. This is what's coming to everywhere. That for people that don't serve me, don't love me, I'm going to read to you some scriptures today about what God says. And I want to start in 2 Corinthians 7:14 through 22. I want to go to Chronicles. What I'm trying to say is 2 Chronicles 7:14, verses 14 through 22. And I want to look at this. I want you to look at what the Lord says now. Is he talking about the worldly people now, or what does he say here? If who? My people. Now, I don't know whether anybody else in here believes this but me, but I guarantee I believe in Jesus Christ, and I know he's alive and well, and he's my Lord and my God. He is my Lord. He's my God. I know the King is alive and well because he answers prayers for me all the time and does things for me all the time. I know the king is alive and well. But he says, if my people, that's talking to you and me, every one of you that held up your hand, he's talking, if my people, which are called by my name, that's us. Are we sons of God? Are we daughters of God? Yes, we are. And I'm not ashamed of it. Absolutely not ashamed to complain, to say that Jesus is Lord, because I know what he's, I know what he's capable of. I have to use that lightly. I really can't comprehend what he can do, you know, because he's God. You know, like just like Ed told me one day, Ed Dotson up there, we were talking, and he said, when I started coming to your church and I saw Caitlin, the first time I literally saw Caitlin, he said, that's it, that's it. He said, this little girl's brainstem was severed. He said, I'm not sure there was really a God. I thought there was, but he said, when I saw her running blind, he said, that settled it for me. I know there's a God now. The case closed. I know he's a God, that he's my God, and I know he loves me, and I'm going to stand on his word. Something like that. Wasn't that right, Ed? Amen. See? Amen. In other words, when you see God do the impossible, all of a sudden now you got to make a decision. Are you going to believe him or are you not going to believe him? But the Lord says here that because my people, which are called by my name, if we'll humble ourselves and pray and we'll seek his face and turn from their or our wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and I will forgive their sins and I will heal their land. Now mine eyes have seen, now mine eyes shall be open and mine ears atone unto the prayer that is made in this place. Now then, God is trying to tell, after Solomon had prayed and done all the things he'd done, God says, now since their eyes are open and their ears are alert unto the prayer that is made in this place, you know, there's a lot of people that you can see and you can hear, but you don't hear and you don't see the things of God. You know, I stand in awe. Just like I got an email last night, yesterday, from a person. And they said, I've been listening to some of your teaching, and I heard you say that every act of sexual immorality will be judged. See, that person said, I have searched the scriptures all over, and I can't find that. And I thought, okay, so let me just go there with you right quick. When people, they don't hear, they don't see, but God is saying that he is going to open our eyes and open our hearing and open our eyes so we can see. But I want you to see this scripture, and I want to put this in at least two different translations. Let's use the NLT first, and let's put Hebrews 13:4. Hebrews 13:4, and I want you to see what this says. He says, give honor to marriage and remain faithful to one another in marriage. God will surely judge people who are immoral and those who commit adultery. Now, I don't know what that says to you, but that's pretty clear to me that God says, give honor to marriage. In other words, who made marriage? God did. So he's saying, give honor to marriage. You know, there's not anything wrong with sex in the marriage between a man and a woman. God made it. That's the way children come into the world. And I'm guaranteed, whether you believe there's sex or not, if you're here today, well, sometime in your life, somewhere, somebody had sex or you ain't going to be here. That's all there is to it. Is that right? You can tell me anything you want to, but every one of us got here the same. My mother and daddy went to bed together one night and got pregnant, and I came out 9 months later. You know, and so it happened to you the same way. There's no other way. But was God happy with that? Yes, he was happy with that because my mother and daddy were married. You know, he gave us marriage, and he said there's not anything wrong with that. But he says if you go out and start messing around and having sex with people that you're not married to, he said, I have a problem with that. Does he not? God, it says there in this translation, God will surely judge people who are immoral. I mean, if God is going to surely judge us, what are you going to get by with? Nothing. That's absolutely right. Let's look at that translation in Another translation, that's the NLT. Let's look at the King James and see what it says. Oh, okay, Amplified. If you got an Amplified, yeah. Okay, Amplified says, let marriage be held in honor, esteemed, worthy, precious. Marriage. Wait a minute. The Lord just hit me with something right there. Let marriage be precious. Stand up here. I want to tell you how beautiful you are.
Thank you.
And how much I love you.
I love you too.
Amen.
Praise the King.
I want every man that's married with your wife, I want you to stand up and look at each other. I want you to stand up. I want this. This is what God says? I want you to look at your mate. I want you to look at your mate. I want you to tell your mate how much you love them.
Glory, hallelujah.
Say, I love you. You're the most beautiful thing in my life. I love you. Did he say God in the Amplified marriage is to be precious?
Yes.
It's to be honorable. And it's precious. So you tell your mate how much you love them. And you're gentle and kind and wonderful and loving to your mate. Now for those of you that don't have a mate, that's okay. But you know, many of you, all of you that are standing, have a mate. Now then, let marriage be held in honor, esteemed, worthy, precious, of great price. What do you think God thinks about marriage? He loves marriage. He's the one that made it. And then he told you what to do. And thus let the marriage bed be undefiled, kept undishonored, for God will judge and punish the unchaste, all guilty of sexual vice and adulterous. Does it sound like that he might get ticked off at you if you didn't do it his way? I mean, he really says there that let the marriage bed be undefiled, kept undishonored, for God will judge and punish. You know, that says something to... We have a few people out there now, and I'm so sad that grace is the most wonderful thing there is, but when we carry it beyond what it really means, that really, really bothers me. You know, when people will tell you that once saved, always saved, you can accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and then you can go live like the devil the rest of your life, and when you die, you get to go to heaven, and God's going to be standing up there saying, well done, my what person. Oh, some of y'all here don't agree with that, do you? Some of y'all must have read the book like I did. Wow. Okay. God will judge and punish the unchaste, all guilty of sexual vice and adulterous. So who's going to get left out of that?
Nobody.
King James, what does the King James say there? Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled, but the whoremonger, now that's the pervert. That's the people that believe that man to man or woman to woman's okay, homosexuals. But homosexuals, whoremongers, and adulterers, God will judge. Is that what it says? Okay, if marriage is as precious as God says it is, and it is, on a regular basis, just like when Cheryl walks in my office this morning, she was in a big hurry. She'd had a busy morning already. She barely opened the door to let the puppy in and says, I'm gone. And I said, honey, you're beautiful. I mean, I spoke out to her before she could close the door. I told her, I said, honey, you're beautiful. And she said, oh, thank you, thank you. And then she come on in here. Now then, if you don't tell your wife or your mate that you love them on a regular basis, you're being disobedient to God's word. Do y'all see that? You're supposed to love your mate. You're supposed to be gentle to your mate. You're supposed to walk in love. Let's go back where we were in 2 Chronicles 7. Let's go back there, 2 Chronicles 7.
14 again or 16?
Yeah. Well, you can probably go to verse 15. We've already talked about 14 a little, so let's go to verse 15. Actually, I'll start at verse 16 since we already read 15. For now have I chosen and sanctified this house, that my name may be there forever, and mine eyes and mine heart shall be there eternity, perpetually. Does God sound like he likes this so far? It does, doesn't it? Let's go to verse 17. Let's see what else he says there. 17. And as for you, if you will walk before me as David your father walked. Now he's talking to Solomon. But actually he's talking to every one of us this day. And as for you, he could put Thurman right there. And as for Thurman, you can put your name right there. If you will walk before me as David and your father walked, and do according to all that I have commanded thee, and shall observe my statutes and my judgments. Now, wait a minute. Somebody tell me one of the commandments under the new covenant. In fact, what is the only commandment under the new covenant? We're to love who? Everybody. Is that right, Mike? But primarily, you're to love that girl on your side, right? She's your mate. You're to love her. You are to love her. You are to respect her. You're to honor her. Now, the Lord tells you what to do, but he says, if you'll do according to all that I have commanded. Well, if you just stop right there, you don't know what he commanded. What did he command? He commanded you to walk in love with all people. He commanded you to be honest. He commanded you not to lie. He commanded you not to steal, cheat, commit adultery. He commanded a lot of things for us to do. But he says there that if you shall observe my statutes and my judgments, then will I establish the throne of my kingdom according as I have coveted with David, my father, saying, or your father, saying, there shall not fail thee a man to be ruler in Israel. Let's go to verse 19. But there's one of those things that you always want to watch for. But if. That's always important. But if you turn away. In other words, if you forsake my statutes and my commandments, which I have set before you this day. In other words, you forget to tell your wife you love her every day. Are you wives too? This is a two-sided deal here. It's not just for the men. You wives are supposed to tell your husband how much you love him. He's out working, making a living to provide for you. And if there was anybody that ought to be... And one thing, I'm going to tell you what. I have stood right here on this platform and prayed for a many a one of you a mate. Oh, Thurman, I'm having trouble making it all by myself. I need a mate. Okay. So I pray and ask God to bring you a godly mate, and he does. And I think about this one man. This one man. This is the most extraordinary thing I've ever seen in my life. This man wanted a godly mate. So I prayed with him. God, give him a godly mate. Well, he brought him a godly mate. In just a few months, he brought him a godly mate. And then they moved in together. And they lived together for about 6 months. And I told them, when I found out about it, I told them, I said, this is not what God planned for you to do. I said, when he brought you that mate, he meant for you to date her. And then if you think you're going to like her, she's the one, then you're to get married. But you're not to move in together without being married. But anyway, I finally got really tough with them one day. I just went down to their house and I told them, I said, I'm just going to tell you this one more time. I said, if you two don't get married, I'm going to guarantee that God's going to judge both of you. And I said, right now, if the two of you don't obey God and start doing what he says, I said, if you died today, the way I read the scripture, and I said, I may be wrong, but I said, the scripture says adulterers and fornicators will not inherit the kingdom of God. Has anybody ever read that verse? That's what it says, isn't it? So I told him, I said, just think, if you live with this woman and y'all go out to eat tonight and you get in a car wreck and both of you get killed. I said, it could happen. There's no guarantee that you'll have it tomorrow. And so I said, how would you like to, for me to have prayed for this woman, for you, and God brought you this woman, and then you go out and do what you did, and then you think she's the love of your life, and y'all are thinking about getting married, but you hadn't gotten married yet, and then you die, and both of you open your eyes in a lake of fire, and you're going to be there forever. And he said, that could never happen because we're washed in the blood. I said, if you read the scripture like I read it, it says, he's talking to Christians when he says, if you do this, you cannot inherit the kingdom of God. And so I said, I'm going to leave y'all with it. Now, I've told you, I've tried to walk with you in love and do everything I know to do, but now then it's in y'all's court. So I said, I pray that y'all will make the right decision. I didn't get home. My cell phone rang and he said, Thurman, we have talked it over and we believe you're right. We're going to get married. I said, okay, good. And so he said, my wife lives in another town about 150 miles from here, so we're going to get married down at her church at her hometown. I said, I don't care where you get married, as long as you get married. So they did. They got married. On Saturday night, they got married. Sunday night, 24 hours later, I ran into him. And this man, which had been living with this woman for 6 months, was so upset with her that he wanted an annulment of the marriage. I told him, I said, I can't believe this. I can't believe that you got along with her. I said, what happened? He said, well, when we were just living together, she wasn't my wife, so I didn't ask her to do anything. But he said, after we got married, now she belongs to me and she's supposed to obey me. And I said, well, yeah, that's true to a degree. And said, I've asked her to do some things, she won't do it. So he said, if she ain't going to obey me, I don't want her as a wife. I told him, I said, you know, I've seen some crazy things in my life. So anyway, he tried to live together with her for about 3 or 4 or 5 more months and absolutely couldn't do it, couldn't make it. And so finally just said, I'm going to get a divorce, it's all over. I said, okay. I said, you know God hates divorce. And he said, well, but I can't live like this. And I thought, now, how many times have I had people come to me and pray, ask me to pray for them a mate, and then God brings them a mate, and then they're not willing to do their part to make it happen? Y'all understand where I'm coming from? So he divorced this girl. Okay, now that he divorced her, and he hasn't had any contact with her for probably 3 or 4 months, and he comes to my office one day and said, I want you to pray and ask God to send her back home to me. I told him, no. I ain't going to pray for you. I said, you know, you're not doing your part. I said, I prayed before and God brought this woman to you and then you treated her like trash. I said, you didn't love her. You didn't do what God told you. So I said, Lord, I will pray one thing. I ask you to put an agony and pain in his heart for what he did. And that man came to see me and asked me to pray for that woman no telling how many times. And finally, she married another man. And so now she's gone. Whenever she came to him, when we prayed and God sent her, he should have been ready. I made a mistake there because I didn't ask God to prepare him and his heart for her. I asked him to prepare the girl for him. And obviously he did because she put up with it for several months. Then she finally said, Thurman, I can't put up with this no more. He's impossible to live with. Do you know that even to be a Christian, you know it takes some working to be a Christian? You just can't accept Jesus and everything go great the rest of your life, right? No, you're going to have trials and tests, and the Lord's going to prove you, and he's going to test you. He's going to do all kinds of things, just like he says here. In verse 19, he said in 2 Chronicles, but if you turn away and forsake my statutes. In other words, if I tell you to love one another, and you turn away from that, And you go get a divorce? That's not doing what God wants, is it? And now we wonder why we're having all the problems we're having. But if you will forsake, he says, but if you turn away and forsake my statutes and my commandments, which I commanded you to love one another, which I have set before you, and shall go and serve other gods and worship them, verse 20, then I will pluck them up by the roots out of my land, which I have given them, and this house which I have sanctified for my name will I cast out of my sight, and I will make it to be a proverb and a byword among all nations. Who is that going to do all this? That's absolutely right. That's who we're dealing with here. Verse 21 and 22, or 21, and this house, which is high, shall be an astonishment to everyone that passes by it, so that he shall say, why hath the Lord done this unto this land and unto this house? In other words, you walk by and there's a church, and it's a beautiful church, and everything looks to be good. But all of a sudden, one day you go by there, and it's got grass growed up, and it's all tore up and destroyed and everything else. And have we ever seen churches like that?
Yeah.
Yes, we have. And it makes you wonder what happened. You know, it just makes you wonder what is going on. Verse 22, let's see what he says in verse 22. And it shall be answered because they forsook the Lord God of their fathers, which brought them forth out of the land of Egypt, and laid hold on other gods, and worshiped them, and served them. Therefore hath he brought this evil upon them. Now, who brought this evil upon these people? The Lord did. So, you know, when you have a, if you're a Christian today, I mean, you ask the average person, we've just had a problem right here in Dallas, Texas, of two Muslim men that came from Arizona that was going to kill a bunch of people, and it just happened to be that the police officer off duty was still armed, it was at the right place at the right time to stop this. Do y'all realize that if that police officer hadn't have been there and them two people had got inside that place where they were, you know how many people they might have killed? There's no telling. It could have been like the one in Paris where 139 of them got killed just a few weeks ago. I mean, when men walk in with clips of holds 50 shells, stringing, hanging all over them, and they got an AK-47, and they just start shooting all over the place, man, you're going to kill a lot of people. And they did, and they do. Thank God for that police officer, but God was warning us. He didn't let nobody get killed that night but the two terrorists. But then in this deal in California has turned their back on God so many ways. I mean, but they're not by themselves. It's happening in the United States of America. You know, we are turning our back on God. You know, we don't want to talk about God. Oh, don't talk to me about God. You know, I don't want to hear that. You hear that all the time when you get out there. People say, I don't want to talk about it. Well, I'm telling you, you know, if you're going to be around me, you're going to hear it. Because I'm going to talk about it. And I'm praying that you will be the same way. Just like this young boy that gave us this testimony a while ago. If he had never come here, never heard the teaching, he said, I would never have ever been able to witness to a man like that. But because I've learned the Word of God, and I know God holds me responsible, he said, I know that man's going to get saved. And see, and of course, one day when they get to heaven together, when that man that this boy led to Christ, when he walks in up there, he's going to run, grab him around the neck and say, oh, praise God. Thank you that Jesus sent you to send me to tell me. Oh, okay. Yeah, so anyway, man, woman, whatever it is, God is trying to get through to us that we need to be doing something for him. And that's why we've been going over all this praying stuff so much lately. Pray and it, ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. We just went through scripture after scripture after scripture for about 3 weeks about pray. I will do something. Everybody that asks gets an answer. You know, so it's just amazing. But if we do not do these things, if we forsake the Lord, he's going to... And therefore has he brought all this evil upon them. Who is it bringing that evil upon them? The Lord. Now, I want to take you to Deuteronomy 28, verses 1 through 14 to start off with. 1 through 14. And NLT will be okay, or the King James, whichever one you pull it up on. Either one's okay. I don't care. It's either one's okay. So, but look at this. As we, Deuteronomy 28 in the NLT. Look at that very first line. If you fully obey the Lord your God. Is that what he said? Now, let's go back and if he says fully obey, if he says fully obey, I want each one of you to tell me something that you know of that God has told you in the Word that you're supposed to do as a Christian. Just one thing. Somebody, anybody, tell me. Can you think of something? Do what?
Tell others about him.
That's right.
Don't steal, lie, murder, cheat, or eat pig.
Praise God. Anybody else?
Love your
neighbor. Do
what? Love your
neighbor. What? That couldn't be in there, girl.
Love your neighbor.
You know how these neighbors are.
I know.
But you're 100% right. That's what he said, right? Love your neighbor. Yes, another one over here. What do we got? Amen. Love your wife as Christ loved the church. And that some of us guys, like me, I don't do that often enough, but I try to do it as often as possible because I know that's what the Lord says. I mean, if God told me, he could have said, Thurman, love your wife like Christ loved the church. But he didn't. He said, husbands, love your wife like Christ loved the church. So instead of just getting Thurman nailed down, now who did he nail down? All of us. That's exactly right. He's telling us here. All these things, if you fully obey, you know the difference between obeying and fully obeying? I'm going to obey, Lord. I'm going to tell my wife that she's beautiful and I love her on Sunday morning, but the rest of the week I ain't going to do it.
That's not fully
obeying. Now, okay, you see what I mean? There's a difference between fully obeying and obeying, right?
Yeah.
So if I fully obey, then every day when she walks in my office, I'll tell her how beautiful she is and that I love her, right?
Yeah.
That's absolutely right. And carefully keep how many of his commandments?
Oh.
Man, that didn't leave nothing out, did it?
Yeah.
That I am giving you today, the Lord your God will set you on high above all the nations of the world. You will experience all these blessings. Now then, how many of you would like to be able to drive a nice new car? Paid for? Wouldn't that be nice? Would that be a blessing? Well, of course, I don't want a car if it ain't paid for. You know, God don't do business like that. I don't know about you, but I had much rather drive a nice new car that was totally paid for than to drive a 1915 Volkswagen. You see what I mean? Drive that old Volkswagen? I mean, here, I got so tickled at a pastor. It wasn't me, but I'm not going to tell you who it was, but he was a man of God. He did it on television, so I know he doesn't care. But he said he pulled up to a stop sign one day, a red light, and there was a Volkswagen in front of him, and said it was just shaking and rattling and rolling and, about to fall apart, and it was rattling and everything else. And then it looked up there on the side, and it says, Jesus is Lord. He said, I pulled up beside the guy and said, you need to, if you're not walking any closer to God than that, you need to take that sign off of your Volkswagen. That thing is a disgrace to God. And it is. You know, if you're walking in obedience to God's word, you shouldn't be driving a 1929 Volkswagen. You ought to be driving something that's fairly decent, and it should be paid for. Because just what God says, if you fully obey the Lord, he will carefully keep you all your commandments I'm giving you today. The Lord of God will set you on high, and you will experience all these blessings. If you're not enjoying the blessings, how far do you need to look? Right here. This is where the problem starts, right here. Am I going to serve the Lord? You will experience all these blessings if you obey the Lord. Wow, I don't know about you. How many of you like to live in a nice house that's paid for? Hey, my house is paid for. Praise God. I don't owe nobody nothing. My car is paid for. My pickup's paid for. My airplane's paid for. Everything the Lord gave me is paid for. I don't never buy nothing I can't pay. You know, that's just like when we bought the 421. We give cash for that thing. That thing cost us $129,000. And we paid cash for it. Never even had to hesitate. I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, if this is the airplane you planned for us to have, I got to have $129,000. And I got to, you know, I said, if this is it. But I don't know if this is the one. But after I prayed that prayer, I guess it was only a night or two later, we had some of the money. We didn't have all of it, but we had some of it. And there was a person that called us about 1 o'clock in the morning and said, oh, Cheryl, this is so-and-so. I so hate to wake you and Thurman up, but I got a problem, and I got to have it solved tonight. Cheryl said, no problem. We had just gone to bed. It's 1 o'clock in the morning. We used to stay up late with answering emails and all kinds of stuff. So we answered the problem. But we got through with the problem. This person asked Cheryl, says, is there anything your ministry needs? Cheryl said, well, Thurman thinks we need a twin-engine airplane. The person said, how much does it cost? Well, Cheryl told him what we needed to be able to have the $129,000. And she said, okay. And that's all she said. And so they hung up. The next day, FedEx pulled in out there with a check to make that balance $129,000. We paid cash for the airplane the next day. Can you beat that? I don't know about you, but if you obey, my God has all the cattle on 1,000 hills. He owns everything. Is that right, honey? My wife, she says that all the time. She said, Lord, you're our God. You have everything. But he says, if you fully obey, you will experience all these blessings if you obey the Lord your God. So see, obedience goes with blessings. If you're not willing to do what you're supposed to do, you're not going to be blessed. I mean, I think about that little lady. Cheryl and I was down at Dayton, Texas here just recently, and Dave. We were all down there, Jeff. This little lady, I talked about husbands and wives, kind of like we're doing right now a little bit. And as we were talking about that, she got to thinking. I've been married to my husband, what'd she say, 50 years? 50 years. And she went over there and sat down kind of back in this area over here, and we're praying for people after the service. And I made mention, you know, that if you repent of that sin, if you have not been a good mate, if you repent of that sin, God will forgive you and he'll take away the pain in your body. And so she had never heard anything like that. So anyway, she went up to her husband and told him, said, honey, I will have to say that I've not been the worst wife in the world, I'm sure, but I know I could have been better lots of times when you asked me to do something when I didn't do it. So I'm asking you to forgive me, and from this day forward, I promise you, I will be a better wife. And he looked at her and said, well, I've not been the best husband in the world either. You know, I've said a few things that I'm not proud of to you, and so I'm sorry that I've stepped on your toes a few times, so I ask you and the Lord to both forgive me. And I promise God I'll walk in love and be a better husband. Now, is that what we should do? Yes. Absolutely. Even if you're walking the best you can in obedience to his word, it wouldn't hurt to tell him that. So anyway, she goes over here and sits down over here in this section. They were right back there in the back when he and her confessed their sins to each other. She goes over and sits down, and in a little while, they were waiting for their children to be prayed for. And in a little while, one of the grandchildren went over and said, Grandma, will you go and do something? So she said, okay. So she said, I reached up and grabbed a hold of the pew, like I always did, knowing I was going to have it to get up because of the pain in my back. And so when I raised up, there was not a pain of no kind in my body. Now, what did she do? She just repented and done what God told her. And the Lord took away the pain in her body. And that woman, by the time we left down there, she said, this is the most awesome thing I've ever seen. I've not had a pain in my body since that night when I repented to my husband. You know, When we don't walk in love, we don't realize that the pains and the suffering that comes upon our body, we don't realize where it comes from. But it comes from God. You know, God's in charge. And he don't want to do this to you, but he will, because he said he will. Let's go to verse 3 and 4. Let's see what that says here. All these blessings. Don't you like those blessings? He says, your towns and your fields will be blessed. Your children and your crops will be blessed. Now, I love that. You know, when this is like when my daughter got pregnant with her baby. She come to me and said, Daddy, I'm pregnant. I'm going to have a baby, and I've asked God to give me a healthy baby. I said, and? She said, and what? I said, honey, he's a great big God. Don't just ask for a healthy one. She said, well, what should I ask for? I said, well, you know how granddad said, I want a healthy, a beautiful, and intelligent one. You know, at least. I don't want a handicapped child, one that can't do anything. I want one that I can say, hey, look at my child. My grandbaby's only 2, and she already knows all of her colors. Look at it. Isn't that something? Wow, she's only 3 right here. And look, she can count her ABCs, and she does math up to multiples of 4. You know? She does that at 4 or 3? Oh, yeah, man, you ought to see what she can do. You know, does granddaddies like to brag on their children, especially their grandchildren? So when you realize how big God is, you won't ever ask him just for an unhealthy child, no more. You'll ask him for a healthy, a beautiful, healthy, intelligent one, right? Your children and your crops will be blessed. The offspring of your herds and your flocks will be blessed. Now, if we obey God, do you see anything in this blessing that you like? Okay, all of it. Okay, I'm in agreement with you there. So let's go to verse 5 and 6. Let's see what that says. Your fruit baskets and your bread boards will be blessed. Whenever you go and whatever you do, you will be blessed. Wow, I just love this. Now then, I'm beginning to see all the things I want here that is promised to be mine, but was there a condition?
Obey.
Uh-oh, so I got to obey. And what do I have to obey? Everything, right? All of the commandments. Let's go to verse 7 and 8. Let's see what it says. The Lord will conquer your enemies when they attack you. Do we have any enemies beginning to attack us? If we obey him, he says there, the Lord will conquer your enemies, and when they attack you, they will attack you from one direction, but they will scatter or flee from you in 7 directions. Did he say anything about you carrying an AK-47? Who did he say was going to do this? He is. In other words, he has angels, doesn't he? And he can send those angels and they can just do all kinds of things for you. You don't have to worry about nothing. There ain't nothing can hurt you. There ain't nothing can touch you. As long as you're walking in obedience to God's word and he's not through with you, there is nothing can touch you or take you out. I mean, I've seen it over and over and over. The Lord will conquer your enemies, and when they attack you, they will attack you from one direction, but they will scatter from you in 7 directions. The Lord will guarantee, and don't you like that? I love that guarantee. The Lord will guarantee a blessing on everything you do. In other words, if I decide to be a mechanic, if I decide to be an engineer, if I decide to be an airline pilot, if I decide to be a plumber, whatever I decide to do, what's God going to bless me in? Everything. It makes no difference what I decide to do on earth, is it? He's going to bless whatever I do. Wow. The Lord will guarantee a blessing on everything you do and will fill your storehouses with grain. In other words, my pocketbook is going to be full. You know? I mean, if I obey him and somebody said, well, I need $500. Have you got it? Sure, I got it. Well, will you give it to me? Absolutely not. Cheryl and I got into a great discussion about this the other day. I said, you know, if somebody goes to this church and they're asking God their blessing and they're obeying and they're tithing and everything else, I said, if they get into a problem and they need something, I'll help them. But I said, if they don't come to church here, They don't ever tithe here. They don't give anything here. They don't do nothing here. Now they get in a problem. I said, they're in a problem because they're under a curse, not under a blessing. So I said, no, I'm not going to give people money, you know, because they need to get out and work for it, just like I did. And for number one, if you're out serving the Lord, you're putting God first and you're doing everything right, and then you come up on something, let's say something did happen and you had a need and some whatever. In fact, this last week I had a girl. Yeah, it was a girl, right, honey? That girl wanted $150. Yeah. There was a girl. She wrote me an email and says, Pastor, I need $150. I'm going to lose my car. I wrote her back and I said, I'm sorry. I don't know who you are. You don't go to church here. I have no contact with you. I don't just send money to people I don't know. So I said, I just don't do that. I said, now, if I knew you, if you went to church here and you got into a bind and you needed $150 to keep from losing your car, if you had been a good attendee, you'd come to church and you'd tithe and you'd done everything you're supposed to do. I said, you needed $150. I would have no problem giving you $150 to get you out of trouble. Then whether you paid it back or not, that's okay. I don't care. But if you're not going to take care of business, she wrote back and said, I don't want a gift. I just need $150. Because I'm going to lose my car. I wrote back and told her, well, lose your car. I ain't going to help you. Do y'all know, do you realize that if I just sent money to everybody that come in here and ask me for money, you know how much money I'd give away? There is people all the time that come in here. They come in, they call me, they've never heard of me. They hear me on the radio talking about something like this, that I've given somebody money, and they never heard me except on the radio. That's where that girl said she heard me. I finally asked her, I said, where did you hear about me? She said, I listened to you on the radio, and I need $150. I said, well, next time you listen to me on the radio, you know, and you got some money, you're obeying God, doing what he says, I said, send a tithe to the church or send an offering to the church. And I said, we'll start building up you a database. I said, if you get to the point where you need money, I guarantee I'll help you. But I said, don't call me and tell me you want money if you're not willing to do something for it. Everybody wants that, right? From what we're reading right here, if we obey God, how many blessings did he say? What did he say he'd bless us with?
Everything.
If you obey him and do what he says, you won't ever get in a place like that. You'll have money in your back pocket. If you ask him to help you, to teach you how to manage your money, you'll never be broke. You'll look just like I was when I was a young man, when I was working for the airline. I was making the best salary I'd ever made in my life, and I guess that's what happened. I'm making all this money, and so anything I see that I think I want, I buy it. I mean, I got money like I've never had. You know, so as an airline pilot, they make lots of money. And so I'm spending it too. Boy, am I spending it. And I mean, I'm buying things I don't need. I'm all kinds of crazy things. Walk in and see, there's a nice toolbox, you know. Wow, that thing's just $450, you know. I've got three toolboxes already, but, you know, that'd be nice. I think I'll just buy that. So you buy it, and then you find that you really didn't need it. And so anyway, the Lord one day got fed up with it. I went out on the West Coast to pick up a trip going to Vietnam and back. And when I got back in Vietnam, that trip was 14 days long. And when I got back, I'd had a furlough put in my office, my box, the day I left. And so I didn't know that I was furloughed. They give you a 30-day notice. So when I got back, I read this notice. I got 15 days left, and I'm out of nothing to do. I can't make another trip. So I get in my car, and I drive from California to home. I walked in the house. My wife's crying. As soon as I walked in the door, she said, what are we going to do? I got this notice 30 days ago, or 15, 20 days ago now. I said, yeah, I got it in my box out there, too. She said, we don't have any money. You've spent it all. Yes, I did. I had. I'd done a good job. I learned how to spend money. You know, getting it, that's one thing, but getting rid of it, oh, it's so easy to get rid of money. Anybody else ever done this besides me? Okay, so we all been there, so anyway. But I told her, I said, you know, this is going to teach me a lesson. I said, you know what I'm going to do? She said, what? I said, first of all, I'm going to get out there in that little shop, and I'm going to work 12, 14 hours a day, whatever it takes. I'm going to make us a living. I'm going to work on cars. I'm going to give people a good job. I'm going to work. I can fix anything, automate transmissions, rear ends, engines. It makes no difference. On a car years ago, I could fix anything in a car years ago. But these newer ones now, I'm a little behind on some of this stuff. But the old ones I used to could work on. And so anyway, I said, I'm going to work on them. When I get paid, I'm going to make sure that the house payment's paid, make sure that the grocery bill's paid, and make sure the car payment's paid. And I said, then we're going to pay that car off as quick as we can. I don't want any payments. So I started putting that money away, saving that money. I mean, I got so tight, we'd go downtown, and I'd look at something, and I'd say, boy, that's really nice, but I don't need that. I can live without that. And then we'd start after church. You know, used to, we'd go out to eat, just like Cheryl and I today. We're not under a real strict budget, and we're blessed. You know, we got money, so we're both getting our Social Security, and so we don't owe nobody nothing, so we got money. We can go out to eat 3 or 4 times a week if we want to. You know, we can do that. But back in those days, we used to go out to eat 3 or 4 times a week. And you don't realize that when you go out to eat and there's 2 or 3 or 4 of you, how much it costs you. You know, you eat a $5 hamburger 4 times, that's $20. You know, y'all understand where I'm coming from? I didn't look at it like that. But now then that I'm out of money, I start looking at it. I don't spend it no more. I start looking for cheaper things on the menu, something I have to, I don't look at the expensive things. I learned how to eat off of a menu 1 time a week, and the rest of the time I bought food at the grocery store and fixed it myself. And you will never guess how much money you can save if you can go to the grocery store and buy your own stuff, and then you can, like a gallon of milk and a box of cereal, that's breakfast every morning for a week. That's for $3. You know, you eat all week long for $3 on a breakfast. And then if you're good, you don't have to have breakfast. Don't have to have it again until that afternoon. You can eat something at 6 o'clock or 7 o'clock, and you can eat light. You don't have to gorge yourself like I used to, and it helps lots of ways. Saves money and you don't get fat. So it helped me lots of ways. But it says the Lord will conquer your enemies when they attack you. They will attack you from all directions, but they will scatter from you in 7 directions. The Lord will guarantee a blessing on everything you do and will fill your storehouse with grain. The Lord your God will bless you in the land that He is giving you. Now, when I began to obey God, and of course, all this time I was a tither. I'd been a tither for years, but I didn't realize that not only did I need to be a tither, but God expected me to learn how to manage the money He gave me. You can't be foolish and make it. You just can't do it. So as I began to learn how to buy things, how to experience things, how to make money and treat people right and do what God says, I became blessed abundantly. I mean, it wasn't long. I had my car paid off, and I worked diligently. It wasn't too many years until I had my house paid off. I started making 2 payments on my house instead of one. I financed my house for 20 years, not 30. And if you've got a place that you financed it for 30 years, you need to change that. And you need to work diligently at getting out of debt. But anyway, if we obey Him, the Lord promises us there that He will bless everything we put our hands to. Do you see anything good in that you liked? Yes, I like everything in there. Let's go to the next couple of verses. Again, what did He say there in the first line? If you obey the commandments of the Lord your God and walk in His ways, the Lord will establish you as His holy people, as He swore He would do. Then all the nations of the world will see you are a people claimed by the Lord, and they will stand in awe of you. Every time I read that, it triggers me about a little story that when I was working for Sky Shift. I was a manager down there. And those guys had no idea how I knew everything that was going on in that building. But they didn't know how to be attached to God. The Holy Spirit will tell you everything that's going on. I mean, if you are a man of God under the new covenant, God will tell you things that are going on. He'll speak to you. He'll tell you how to do things, how to fix things. I've had Him do that for me so many times, it's just out of this world how many times God's done that for me. But one of the men, there were several men in both the house maintenance and the truck shop, they all got together one day. And they're talking. How in the world does Thurman know everything we do? He's not down here that much. So how does he know what we're doing? So the next morning, Richard, he come in my office, and he was kind of a young man that kind of was quiet. He said, "Mr. Scribner, we were talking about how you knew so much about what goes on around here when you're not out on the floor that much." So he said, "I asked the Lord to show me how you knew this." And he said, "I had a dream last night." He says, "In that dream, I was coming down the hallway, and I saw this bright light coming out of your office window. And I thought, what in the world is that bright light? That's way brighter than the lights in his office." He said, "I walked up there and I looked," and said, "when I did, there was an angel standing in your office telling you everything we were doing." He saw that. The Lord showed him that. But, I mean, if there were, it's amazing how you can be sitting there reading a book or working on a computer program, and all of a sudden it just comes to your mind, you need to run down to the truck shop. They're having a problem down there. Anybody ever experience these kind of things? Sure. And so I'd get up and I'd go down there, and when I'd get there, I'd say, "You guys having a problem with the truck?" "How did you know?" I said, "The Lord told me." Isn't that amazing? I remember one night they had one of those, it was a six-cylinder diesel, V8 diesel, a Detroit V8 diesel, had a blower on it. And they had a knock in the engine, and they were trying to figure out where the knock was. And so the Lord told me, he said, "Just go down to the truck shop. They need your help." So I got up and I went down to the truck shop. I walked in and I said, "Are you guys having a problem with the truck?" He said, "How did you know that?" I said, "Well, the Lord just told me to come down here and see what y'all's problem is." He said, "This one right here, it's got a knock in it." And I said, "Well, let's crank it up." He cranked it up. Man, did it have a knock in it. I said, "Wow." I listened real close on both sides, come around on the left-hand side, and I said, "Back cylinder, you got some kind of piece of foreign object, a nut, a washer, or something. When y'all were putting this back together, when you didn't have the cover over the intake, somebody dropped something in the intake." And I said, "It sounds like a nut on top of a piston." I said, "Pull that left head. Let's see what it looks like." They come got me in a couple hours. They pulled that left head, and there was a quarter-inch nut laying right on top of that piston, mashed into the piston. Wow. I told him, I said, "Tim, how can you do all those things?" God, that's absolutely right. You can't do those kind of things on your own. But if God is leading you, Mike, how many things like that can you do if you're asking the Lord to direct you every day?
Everything.
That's absolutely right. God will direct you. He'll show you how to do things. If you'll just put him first and do what he says, he'll bless you in everything you put your hands to. Everything. And then all the nations of the world will see that you are a people gained, claimed by the Lord. And they will stand in awe of you. In other words, they'll be afraid of you. Do you know, used to, that everybody was afraid of the United States of America? Yeah. I mean, the world trembled when we spoke. But anymore. Oh, it ain't like that anymore. What has happened? We've turned our back on God.
That's right.
11 and 12. The Lord will give you prosperity in the land he swore to your ancestors to give you blessings. And he will bless you with many children, numerous livestock, and abundant crops. The Lord will send rain at the proper time from his rich treasury in the heavens, and he will bless all the work you do. You will lend to many nations, but you will never need to borrow from them.
Amen.
Are we in debt? The world is. The United States is. I don't know about you, but I'm not. I don't owe nobody nothing. I have walked in obedience to God's word, and I got dollars in my pocket right now that I don't have to worry about nothing. I'm not going to miss a meal tonight. I don't care if y'all go in there and eat every ounce of food that's in there. Still ain't going to go hungry tonight. Y'all understand where I'm coming from? God has blessed me. I may not have $1 million in my pocket, but I'm close. Now I really got you thinking, don't I? You know, it doesn't make a difference if I got $5 in my pocket or $500 in my pocket. I've got all I need to take care of everything I'm going to do today.
Amen.
Is that the way to look at it?
Amen.
God has blessed us. I mean, he has promised. You don't have to have any money. You can be like, I just stand in awe at this. There was a pastor, and of course, you know, since he lived here in the Metroplex area years ago, and he was just south of Dallas, and he was a black pastor. But of course, he wasn't a pastor back in those days, just a kid. But his mother was a praying mother, and she told him he's going to go to college and get an education, and he's going to be a great man of God. So she prayed, and then whenever it come time for him, after he got out of high school, when he was going to go to college, he had to come to Dallas to sign up. He had $5 total in his pocket. And when he got there, his mother said, you're going to go and you're going to, God's going to provide. I have prayed and prayed and prayed. And so when it came time, and I think he said at that day when they checked in, they had to have $67, I believe is what he said. He said, everybody in front of me was giving them their $67. I had five. He said, I thought, okay, Lord, I don't know what's going to happen here. My mother told me to get up here and in line and pay and that God would provide. So he gets up there, and whenever, just as he gets there, the man that was checking him in, he says, do you have your money? And he started to say, I got $5. But before he could say that, somebody walked up and said, are you E.V. Hill? Anybody ever heard of E.V. Hill? When he was just a boy? He said, yes, sir, I'm E.V. Hill. And he says, okay, here's a full scholarship for you for the next 4 years, all paid for. And he said, so E.V. went to college, graduated, God paid all his ways. And if you don't know anything about E.V. Hill, he became a great pastor out in California. He fed the hungry. He led thousands to Christ. He used to be on TBN all the time. He was just a great man of God. But the God we serve blessed him and blessed him abundantly. He came out of nothing. He didn't have nothing. He was raised in a log cabin, a one-room log cabin, and turned out to be a great man of God. And God used him mightily because his mother obeyed the word of God. Okay, verse 13 and 14. If you listen to these commandments of the Lord your God that I'm giving you today, and if you carefully obey them, the Lord will make you the head and not the tail, and you will always be on top of, never at the bottom. You must not turn away from any of these commandments I'm giving you today, nor follow after other gods and worship them. Verse 15, let's see what verse 15 says. But if you refuse to listen to the Lord your God and do not obey all the commands and decrees I'm giving you today, all these curses will come on you and overtake you. Now then, in the interest of time, I want to go to verse 47. I'm going to skip all the curses, and I'm going to go to verse 47, and we're going to read a few things. If you do not serve the Lord your God with joy and enthusiasm. I hate to go to church. I'm going because my mother makes me, but I hate going to church. Have you ever heard people talk like that? Well, you know, God's not hard to get along with. He just made you a set of rules, and he put them right here. If you do not serve the Lord your God with joy and enthusiasm. That's why we jump up and down and praise God and raise our hands and swing them and everything else. We're praising God. We're happy that we know him, and we're joyful to be able to know the King. Are we not, Franz? We know the Lord. We want to praise him and worship him, and we want to praise him. If you do not serve the Lord your God with joy and enthusiasm for the abundant benefits you have received. In other words, he is giving you. How many of you got a car? How many of you drove your own car out here? How many of you got a car? How many of you got a house or an apartment or something you're living in? How many of you got clothes on your back today you ain't naked? How many of you can still see? How many of you can still hear? That's what I started to say. When's the last time we said, thank you, Lord, for all these things? See? Did he tell us to praise him and thank him for all this? Because who gives you everything you have? The Lord. Absolutely the Lord. The Lord. He gives you everything you have. You don't have nothing without him. And he says we're supposed to give him joy and enthusiasm for the abundant benefits you have received. If you, and said, for you will serve your enemies, said, because you have not done this. Because you've not done it, because you've grumbled and complained, you've not praised him, you've not worshiped him. Then he says, you will serve your enemies whom the Lord will send against you. Who's sending ISIS over here? That's exactly right, Ms. Jackie. It's the Lord. He's sending these beasts. He's sending these Muslims. He's sending these people to kill us. He said, you will serve your enemies whom the Lord will send against you. You will be left hungry, thirsty, naked, and lacking in all. Oh, somebody back there, I really hit a tender spot, didn't I? We don't like this. Do you like this? Does this make it a little easier to worship and praise the Lord? Ooh, I can praise him. I can be driving down the road. I mean, I'll never forget that night when me and Eldon was driving down the road and he was driving. I was sitting on the right side and he asked me why the Lord hadn't taken that bridge off of Cheryl's Tooth. And I said, well, I just sitting here thinking about that, Eldon, and I don't know what it is. The only thing I can think of, I must not have praised him enough. So I said, Lord, I praise you. I thank you. I worship you for taking that bridge off of Cheryl's teeth. I praise you. Eldon says, yes, Lord. And he put his knees up against the steering wheel, holding the steering wheel down straight down the road. He's got both hands up in the air. It's at night, so nobody can see us. They think we're crazy. Lord, Eldon and Thurman and I, we thank you for taking that bridge off of Cheryl's mouth. Lord, we praise you. And for 10 minutes we did that, 10 miles. And then all of a sudden my cell phone rang and Cheryl called and said, honey, what are you doing? I said, I'm praising the Lord for taking the bridge off your mouth. She said, why? I said, why? She said, that thing just fell off in my mouth. No problems. The dentist couldn't get that thing off. But the Lord can take it off. I love the blessings, don't you? Yes, you will serve. If you don't do this, then you will serve your enemies whom the Lord will send against you. You will be left hungry, thirsty, naked, and lacking in everything. Do you know anybody that lives right there?
Yes.
I do too. I know several of them.
Yes.
That's where they're living, right there.
Yeah.
Because they don't want to put God first. They just don't want to do it. You will be hungry. I don't like to be hungry, do y'all? You know, I tell you what, how it is around here. If I'm not careful, when we get up to have dinner, breakfast, evening something, meal, whatever it is, if I ever met a woman that she knows her eyes are bigger than her stomach, it's my wife. So when she sits down to eat, you know, she may take a piece of meatloaf that big around and put it in her plate and then put all these other things. And I say, honey, surely you can't eat all. Oh, I'm so hungry, honey, I'm going to eat every bit of that. So when she sits down and eats about 6 or 8 bites, and then she says, I'm full. Well, you want the rest of this? And so I used to just say, yeah, I'll take it, until she started saying, have you looked at yourself in the mirror lately? I said, I have. She said, you need to look at yourself in this mirror. You've got a little tummy coming out there. I said, well, because of this good wife of mine that gets too much in her plate and expects me to clean it all up. But anyway, I have fun with her for doing that. But it says, you will serve the Lord with, and you'll be hungry, you'll be thirsty, you'll be naked, and you'll be lacking in everything. The Lord will put an iron yoke on your neck. Do you like to carry around an iron yoke? Oppressing you harshly until he has destroyed you. Now then, when you stop and think about what's going on in America today, the Lord told us in the very first thing we talked about in Chronicles, that if my people will turn from their wicked ways. Remember, did you see yourself in anything we talked about today? I saw myself in a couple of them. I'm not doing everything the Lord says. I'm working diligently on it, but there's some areas I'm not there, and I need to really work more diligently. But he clearly said, if I will do everything he said, he will bless everything I put my hands to. Didn't he say that, Franz? And if he said it, that ought to be good enough for me and you both, right? Yeah, if God said it, We listen to him. We obey him. We do what he says, and he will bless us and bless us abundantly. So if you obey him and do what he says, he's going to bless us and bless everything you put your hands to. But if you do not, and especially the part about if you do not serve the Lord your God with joy and enthusiasm, you know, you really need to get in a joyful mode. You know, there shouldn't be nothing wrong with when you come in, you should shake my hand and say, Jesus is Lord. Praise the Lord. I'm dead to sin, Pastor. I didn't sin this week. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Is there anything wrong with praising the Lord?
No.
Do you think he likes that?
Yes.
I think he likes that. So if we will do that, we love those blessings, did we not? But do we love these curses?
No,
no, no. No. We don't want those. Because let me tell you, ladies and gentlemen, what you're seeing happen in America is right here. We're seeing it right here. We're turning our back on God. We don't want to talk about him in the workplace. We don't want to talk about him at work. We don't want to talk to him nowhere. Don't talk to me about Jesus. I don't want to do that. And you wonder why the problems in the church. Now, the church is going to still suffer some things. But when, as long as we have weapons like we have in Psalms 91 and we know those things and we walk in obedience to him, God is going to bless us and bless us abundantly.
Amen.
You don't have to worry about nothing. God promises if we obey him, I don't care how many enemies come against us, what is he going to do with them? He's going to scatter them in seven directions. You don't have to worry about nothing. He's going to take care of it. But if you don't obey him, you might be just like those people out there in San Bernardino the other day. I'm telling you, you know, if it happened in Paris, and we all know there's 300 or 400 people involved in that thing in Paris. 130 or 40 of them got killed. But the rest of them were injured. But if we're seeing that here already come to the United States of America, and we're seeing it happen, if we do not put God first and do what he says, I can guarantee you there's going to be more and more and more of these Muslims come against us in the United States of America. And you're not going to like it. You're not going to like it. So if there's ever a time to really know that you know Jesus and that you're going to walk in obedience to his word, it's today. You need to know that for sure. Now then, if we walk in obedience to his word, did he promise to take care of us?
Yes,
he did. You don't have to sweat the Muslims. You don't have to sweat nothing. Just obey him and he will take care of your enemies. But if you don't do what he says, guarantee you'll have to worry about those enemies. And there'll be some of the church that will die because they are not obeying God. I tell you what, it's so much easier, just like Dean said over there a while ago, it's so much easier to tell your wife every day you love her than to not do it. Because God told you to do it, didn't he? Did God tell you to love your wife? Yes, he did. And if you do it, he'll bless you. Well, Father, in the name of Jesus, I praise you and thank you for this day and for this word that you've sent to us, Lord. And thank you for helping us to walk holy and obedient to your word. Be obedient, sons and daughters, because, Lord, I don't want to be one of those you have to punish. I don't even like this when I see in the scripture a place where you say, if I don't obey you, you will punish me. Lord, I don't want to be punished. I want to be blessed. I love being blessed. And I thank you that you have blessed me. I thank you, Lord, that you've given us everything we need. I thank you that I have a roof over my head that's paid for. I thank you that I have a car and a pickup that's paid for. I thank you, Lord, that everything I have, you have paid for it. So I have no need, no need whatsoever. You are only, the only need I have is for you to just sustain me day by day, Lord. And you're doing a great job there. And I thank you and praise you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.